and welcome to this week's Oxcast Extra. I'm here with Ida and Nathan from The Dead Secrets. Hello, guys.
Hi.
So, how did you become involved in The Dead Secrets?
Do you want to go with that?
Well, yeah. The Dead Secrets, we've all known each other for several years. Some of us since about 2008, some from before that. And we've all been doing sort of improv around Oxford since that time. So we all met in an old improv group, and then we decided we wanted to take that in a slightly different direction and start doing written material and stuff. So we decided to create The Dead Secrets and take our comedy in a slightly different direction.
And I came on to help direct, and then eventually they absorbed me.
After many, many months of badgering and nagging and threats to his well-being.
I need to get out.
Yeah.
Help.
Wonderful. And how do you create your shows? Is it still largely improvising and then forming a script, or
both ways? So the improv stuff might create something that we say that's actually a good idea. Let's steal that and turn it into a sketch, or we sometimes just have these moments where we all write our sketches together or individually. And then sometimes those little characters might appear in the improv, so they kind of all feed into each other.
Yeah. Okay. Right. I think you're probably most well known in Oxford for your show Hickory Dickory Murder.
Mm-hmm.
I sadly haven't seen it, but some of the people in the office have, and they just speak so highly of it.
Oh, wonderful. Great. Thank you.
Why do you think death is so funny?
Not the question I was expecting.
Can I answer that? So I think Hickory Dickory Murder kind of comes out of the Agatha Christie style of writing, you know, the Golden Age detective murder mystery. And she didn't make fun of death and murder, but she seemed to have a very kind of light touch with it. And I always, reading her stories from a long time ago, I've always enjoyed the way she deals with it. She's quite ironic and humorous, but also very serious at points. And so you find yourself laughing and then go, oh, actually someone's just died. It's terrible. So I think that's what it is. But we don't necessarily make fun of death.
No, it's more about the characters that arise from the situation, I think. So the death is just some kind of, like, the focal point that all the characters surround. And it just gives you license to be slightly dark and surreal, and which we enjoy
morbidity,
very much.
Yeah. It's quite fun.
It's fun. Yeah. Love
good memories. Yep.
And what has been your favourite suggestion that you've had?
Oh.
So we normally ask for character types or a location or a setting.
Well, all of those things.
All those things, yeah. One of our more interesting settings was a community AGM.
Yes.
In Monte Carlo.
Yep. Which involved somebody being upset because somebody else was trying to take over a football pitch.
Mm.
To turn into a local
shopping centre,
or the other way around.
They were knocking everything down, knocking down the casinos to make a football field.
Wow.
Yeah, it was very strange. So that's an interesting one.
It's pretty detailed.
I think you start with suggestions that actually can seem quite normal. So you have the colonel, or an old military man, or a widow, or a priest, and then suddenly when you put them all together, it creates a very, very strange situation.
Yeah.
And putting them in a very specific location, I think, sort of creates certain boundaries that you have to play with, and that becomes great.
I think. Yeah.
Brilliant. How do you prepare for a show like that?
Well,
spend a lot of time going, oh God. What we do is we have a sort of our format, so we know what suggestions we're going to get. So we play around in rehearsal with sort of different characters and things, but also just working on basic improv skills.
Skills, yeah.
Because you can only prepare so much for an entirely improvised show. So it's about kind of maintaining your core skills and working together as a group and being able to read each other and that kind of thing. So.
And lots of coffee. Yeah.
And hats.
Hats, yeah. We have loads of costumes. So there's always the argument about who gets what costume. And that takes up a fair amount of time.
Yeah.
I think.
And then Nathan and I don't talk to each other for a while.
Yeah, and it's awkward. And, you know.
But I buy him flowers and then it's fine. It's fine.
The next most well-known show that you're currently performing at the moment is the Curiositorium.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually saw an extract of this at the Live Friday at the Ashmolean last Halloween, and I thought it was hilarious.
Wonderful.
I really enjoyed Sputum.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sputtums gets a lot of attention. Yeah. Big fan base, that one.
Yeah. Squeaky wheel and all that.
And you guys are performing that at the Old Fire Station on the 30th of September.
That's right. Tickets on sale now.
How did you come up with this show?
Well, interestingly, it came from, again, the kind of wish to do something slightly different to what we've been doing. So our first sketch show was all kind of independent sketches, a very regular sketch show. And then we thought we wanted to write something that had more of a... It was still a sketch show, but had a kind of overarching narrative. So we can't quite remember where the idea for this...
The characters seemed to... Some of the characters seemed to appear in other things, and we just expanded them. And then they seemed to fit together into this kind of museum atmosphere.
Yeah.
And we just built it around that.
So we spent many, many months writing sort of different sketches and things and trying to place them in this weird and wonderful world. And the fact that it's a museum within a museum means you have the opportunity to have loads of different exhibits and characters and things like that. But again, within a confined space. That was originally a two-hour show, mm-hmm. the first time we did it. And then we cut it down, made it much slicker, cut things out, changed things, made an hour show, which we've since taken to Edinburgh, Buxton, Brighton, and here in Oxford again. So this is really kind of the last hurrah for that show for a little bit.
Yeah.
So taking it out with a bang before we kind of keep developing our new stuff. So the new show that we're writing for the museum, and also touring with Hickory Dickory Murder and other shows that we've got in the pipeline that we're developing at the moment.
But if you've seen the Curiositorium before... This is still, it's still going to be different. Things have always changed every time we do it. We're just constantly revising things. So, yeah, come again.
Fantastic. So, you've already briefly mentioned your next show, Nature, the Authorised Biography. Yes. What are you performing that?
That is on the 22nd of October in the
Oxford University Museum of Natural History.
Bravo.
Yes. Proper name. 7:30 start for that one. But that's part of they've got a season of kind of events called Visions of Nature. I think there's exhibitions and workshops and things. And where the the comedy sketch group, which every season needs, I think,
Well, it came out of we approached them originally with the idea, in fact, to do the Curiositorium within the museum, which we thought would be wonderful. And they loved the idea, but were more drawn to us doing something much more specific to them. And they had this whole Visions of Nature season, and so they've had photography, poetry, workshops, all lots of wonderful things, book discussions and things. So, yeah, as Nathan said, we're just one different angle, one different take on Visions of Nature. So for them specifically, we've written Nature, the Authorised Biography, which is all about man's relationship with nature
through
and how
time,
the two influence each other. And again, there are separate sketches, but it has this theme running through it of man and nature and what we do to one another.
Yeah, so past, present, future, it's got all of it. Actually, it's quite a huge scope.
Yes, it does, from the beginning of time to the end of time.
And heaven and hell and everything.
We've written things specifically about things in the museum and about people connected and events connected to the museum. So it's very much sort of a site-specific show that we've written specifically for them.
A lot of historical figures as well that you won't necessarily need to know who they are, like the full thing about them, but... They'll pop up and you'll recognise them, and we like to use historical figures.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm assuming Darwin's in there.
Of course.
Possibly not as you would expect.
Oh, okay.
But he's definitely there.
Yeah.
With China dolls. Just so.
And outside of the Dead Secrets, what are you guys involved in?
Various different things. So I personally run a social enterprise called Act Real, which uses theatre to communicate academic research to schools and community groups, which I do kind of all over the country, specifically working around complex social issues like migration and things like that. So that's sort of outside of the Dead Secrets. That's my other job. And then other than that, I do a lot of things with local groups as well. So I've just been working with 11-1 Theatre on Brief Lives, just perform with different local groups, really.
Yeah. And I co-founded and producer of Troika Theatre, which is also an Oxford company. And we've been going for about, 5-6 years now. So we do a lot of texts. They're comedy and drama and Shakespeare as well. So we just kind of really focus on doing a great show, but, once a year or so.
And all the other Dead Secrets do various things as well.
Yeah.
But they're not here, so...
Yeah, it's all about us.
Sorry about that. Okay, I've written you a little quiz, or I guess, would you rather?
Oh, excellent. Even better.
Okay.
It's very small.
Okay.
It's all right.
Do we answer together or separately?
Do we have...
Separately.
Are there buzzers? No, we don't need buzzers.
Oh, I wish
Is there a scoreboard?
You can make a noise.
Okay. Can we shout our own names now?
Okay. First up.
Okay.
Mock the Week, or Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Oh, Ida, Whose Line Is It Anyway?
And why?
That's very much where kind of my love of improv first started. Like, when I first got into improv, I was a huge Whose Line Is It Anyway fan, and I just think the flexibility with which they perform and the kind of the joy that clearly comes from that is contagious. And, I mean, a lot of people, I enjoy satire as much as the next man, but there's a freedom to Whose Line Is It Anyway, the kind of fact that it's not topical, but it kind of spans any subject you want that I very much enjoy.
Okay. I've actually seen neither of those, but I think Whose Line Is It Anyway is something that I would like.
Yes.
Yeah, you answer for me, it's fine, yeah.
I'm sure it is.
Nathan also likes oranges and...
Next up, Professor Plum or Colonel Mustard?
Oh, I think Professor Plum. I never trusted Colonel Mustard. I don't know. Who wears mustard for a uniform? No.
I mean, what army even is that?
Exactly. Yeah, the condiment army. He's got something about him. No. Yeah. This is from the original board game, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Were they called that in the movie, in Clue? I think they were, weren't they?
I don't know, I didn't see it.
Mm. Ha ha, I've seen Clue. Sorry, yeah.
I know, I would agree with that.
Yes?
Yeah, heartily.
Yes, interesting, yeah. Yes.
Very good. And finally, Frankenstein or Jurassic Park?
Oh,
it's a controversial question.
Oh, yeah. Well, I do appreciate the fact that you put them in kind of the same category, because reading both books is quite scary, because it's so easy to do these monstrous things that these people do.
Exactly.
It's going to be a very academic discussion now. No, but
I've read a book.
Frankenstein was scary, but Jurassic Park, I think I love dinosaurs more, so it's going to be Jurassic Park. But not Jurassic World, doesn't count. Don't get me started.
Yes, so Nathan has a very, very special relationship with dinosaurs, which is why for many years for his birthday I keep buying him sort of children's dinosaur toys. I didn't realise that this was a theme for a long time. But he does love dinosaurs. I think I might go with Frankenstein.
Ooh.
Only because it's kind of a huge reflection on the darkness of humanity, but mm-hmm. also the hope that lives within each of us.
Yeah.
I don't know, I just think it's, and also it comes from a period, I think, where it was so shocking, and if you read it kind of within its time, it's much more powerful and effective than if we read it with our own perspectives, so I think, historically, it's...
Both of which, actually, they kind of influence our shows, so there's a touch of Frankenstein in The Curiositorium with
Sputtums,
a created monster.
You may have noticed.
And in Nature... The Authorised Biography, there's a lot of references to dinosaurs in Jurassic Park because it's Museum of Natural History. So
the two dinosaurs in the museum, in fact, star in the show quite heavily. So
the T-Rex and the Iguanodon. We might need to talk about talk to the museum about dressing them up, but you know.
Well, I'm sure they'll be fine.
That's fine. They're just priceless skeletons. It's it's fine.
Yeah.
You know. But good question.
Thank you. You see what I did there?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Very leading, yes.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you guys. Thank you so much for coming in.
That's right. Thank you for having us.